Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This video was taken originally off of youtube.com/Hashnasi, that's Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, November Alpha Sierra India. I stream every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on all topics related to ham radio. Without further ado, let's get started. Hoo-hoo-hoo, buddies! Man, tell you about making it at the last minute here. Everything was good. Everything was good for hours. It's home early, doing some work from home, setting everything up, and boy, things took a change the last 15 minutes ago. Anyway, got a new toy, too. Anyway, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. This is Hashnasi KI6NAZ. I don't know what radio is actually making noise. There's like five radios on my desk, and they're all squawking to me about something. So, okay, cool. All right, welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. Let's everybody get in here. We got a ton of people hanging out in the chat, so I'm waiting for all the numbers to start popping up here, and then we'll get started. Whew. Man, it's hot. And that's going to be a topic of discussion in a second here for sure. Oh, man. Where am I in the vid? I am, this is the startup. This is the startup screen that everybody sees. I've got a new bunch of memes. If you want to send me memes to kick off the Ham Radio Crash Course every Friday, all you got to do is go over to Discord. The link will be in the description, and the link will be in the chat at some point when one of the mods hops on. And there's a meme page. You can go post memes there. Ham radio memes are preferred, obviously, so, all right, whew, here we go. All right, so, it's 109 degrees in Southern California where I live, and it's hot, 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 hot. I had a fan on, had the air conditioner on. I think the air conditioner said might give up at 79 degrees in the house right now, so not bad, but yeah, we topped it out. Anyway, I was playing around. And I was putting up my, you know, setting the party light up, and I bumped the strip plug and shut off all the internet, all the stuff, and oh man, couldn't get it back on. Couldn't get it back on for like 15 minutes right before the stream here, so I was freaking out. Here's my little friend. It's an Atomo. What's this guy? An automaton. What it really is a CW trainer. And it's got a cool little... I love that thing! It's like a theremin. So much fun. I'm going to crack open the beer right now because I was having a little stress there. So yeah, we're going to crack open the beer and have some fun, man. Wow. Yeah, it was a little stressful right there in the startup. Got to be honest with you on that one. That's what happens. You do it live, man. Things happen. And when it's a one-man show like me, no producer, you're doing it on your own. Anyway, I don't even know what this is, man. This is like the weirdest looking beer. Eel beer, bottled in Belgium by De Dole Brouwers. And it's 9%, man. Whew. Yeah, if you're interested in that little ridiculous noisemaker, there's a link to Amazon. It's in the Ham Radio Crash Course. Just scroll down the page a little bit. Whew. Todd Riddle says he's got a repeater going. There's a nice little bit of head. That was a little too much head. But with some of these Belgian beers, you need to let it off-gas a little bit when you pour it. So that'll be nice when it settles down. Okay. Whew. I can't tell you how crazy that was. All right. So welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course again. Today is Patron's Pick. That means the topic of the video, which is attic and small space HF antennas. But a lot of the same principles are going to work for 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and all that goodness. It's really just, how do you deal with putting an antenna up in a small space? And it's harder than what you think. It is definitely harder than what you think. As always, we're moving forward with radio, which means we're trying to learn a bit more, and then we're going to try to apply some of that knowledge, and then we're going to try and get better. Just keep taking steps and steps and steps until we're all better together. Which, I gotta say, it's a nice feeling that so many people on Patreon asked for an HF project. A lot of times, or recently, a lot of the feedback is more VHF stuff, and it seems like people are getting their general, and they're exploring HF a bit, so that's super terrific, and I'm super glad that that's what's happening. So, I do have a couple things I want to get out of the way. First, K6UDA here on YouTube. I don't know if he's watching right now, but I was on his stream for 4th of July and just wanted to give him a shout out. He did a good job with the stream. I had some fun watching him, hearing him talk, answering questions live. Pretty good. That was awesome. So being good stewards of ham radio. This was something I talked about last week because I did a talk with the Boys and Girls Club. And I had something come up that I haven't really talked about because I kind of just was like going to let it blow over. But I thought maybe it'd be a good idea to mention being a good steward of ham radio doesn't just mean to the public, the view of the public. It also means how you treat other ham radio operators and licensed individuals, not just FCC licensed, but just human beings who are interested in amateur radio. Treat them well. Case in point, I got a guy a little while ago. I tuned into this. He was taking my thumbnails off my popular Baofeng videos, and he was throwing his watermark on them and reposting them on Twitter. And when I contacted him and said, "Hey, bro, could you like give me credit?" And actually, I don't know if it's a guy. I don't know. And I'm not even gonna mention anything because I don't want him getting any foot traffic for doing what he's doing. So he kind of took my stuff, and I asked him to give me credit, and just ignored me, flat out ignored me. And then I noticed like a day or two ago, he started following me on Instagram, and I'm like, no, because he's going to take all my pictures, so I blocked his ass. Anyway, be good to each other, and it's not about just being good to the guy that makes YouTube videos, but be good about anybody on amateur radio. Don't take their stuff, don't steal credit, don't do any of that stuff. So anyway, enough of that negative juju out of the way. Ham Jam's tomorrow. Ham Jam at the HRO. I'm unaffiliated with the HRO, but I'll be there at the one in Anaheim, California. It's going to be a lot of fun. Gordon West is going to be at that location if you can make it out to that one. I think he's signing the new books, the new technician book. So if you're interested in that, I'd probably sign any of the books that he makes if you have it. But Ham Radio Crash Course on Facebook. As always, if you're seeing this for the first time or you've only followed me on YouTube, go check the links in the bottom. That'll take you to the Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook page, which is awesome. And you can join, and there's a ton of people there to answer questions. It's been really, really helpful for a lot of people. We've got a Reddit now for those that don't like Facebook, so make sure you explore that. We have the Discord. Links are in the description, and Zach will probably be buying a little bit. He's doing something right now. And then we've got merch now. Some people have bought some of these shirts, so I hope you enjoy them. I hope you like them. Let me know what you think when you get them. Beer today, I already mentioned it. It's the O-Bier. The O-Bier from Belgium. Let's try it. Should be good. Man. Woo. Pretty good. Yeah, that's really good. It's like a Belgian triple. It's a double. So it's a double. It's a Belgian double. But it's got a flavor of a triple, but with earthy caramel flavor that you'd have in like an ale. Woo. KE0QHN says, "Loved your solar panel system." Yeah, so I'm really excited to do the field day MBPs. And the first one was the solar panel because, you know, solar panels are very important. Batteries are very important. But they're not that glamorous, right? Let's be honest. The fact that you don't have issues with a solar panel and a battery and you can run all day and not have problems, that means it's awesome. So the Renergy panel and the Dakota Lithium battery, dakotalithium.com with the coupon Hoshnasi, lowercase Hoshnasi, and then the Renergy panel link is in the description for the the Ham Radio Crash Course on Amazon. Sorry, I'm settling my nerves from the stress, like all the dumping adrenaline, trying to get the internet working. Somebody pointed out that 100-watt panel for $100, with or without the charge controller, is a better deal than the kind of junk panel that they sell at Harbor Freight. Killer. I didn't even think about it like that, but yeah, that's awesome. Super, super cool on that one. And DJ Schnib says that Belgian stuff is usually high alcohol. It is. This is 9%. Brendan Moss asked me, oh, there's a phone that needs to be put on silent. Set phasers to stun, ladies and gentlemen. So, Brandon Moss asked, do you homebrew? Yes, I do. In fact, there are a bunch of YouTube videos of me making mead, and I think there might be one of making a beer. I haven't had much time to do a proper brew, though, with the kids. When Edison came along, the second kid, I just haven't had the time. But yes, I love brewing. I love brewing. Brewing's a lot of fun. Vanessa Kitty says, I have 50 solar panels on my roof. That's awesome. Next repeater build is a 2-meter system, says Todd. Oh, Todd Riddle's in the chat. He's talking about a repeater that they've got going on. And okay, great. What else we got? Oh, yeah, I'll show you. I got some merch, not merch, but stuff, some upcoming videos. So, wrong camera. There we go. I got an SDR Play, an RSP-1A. This is just the first level of the SDR Plays. That thing is awesome. It is really, really nice. The software for the SDR Play is awesome. Awesome. It's really, really good. So far, I think the thing retails for like $100. I couldn't find the first level, the RSP-1A, on Amazon. Only the Duo was on Amazon. Links in the description to that. Super cool. The software is probably the best part of it. The software is really nicely featured. Looks really, really good. Really good. So thank you to SDR Play. We'll do a video on that in the future. Now, the GoTennas, I gotta do a whole, possibly multiple videos on this, because there's the functional aspects of the GoTennas, like the actual what do they do, and what do they do is nothing that amateur radio doesn't already do. These don't require a license, and they're kind of low power. I think they're a watt output. But it's that mesh capability. So whether or not you think about it this way or not, mesh is kind of like the future of how the internet is going to operate. And it's probably going to... Hey, Zach's in the house. I'm glad to see you, Zach. So mesh networking, whether you're going to do it via ham radio, or there's like software you can put on old iPads now and you can do it, or use something like this, that concept is just going to get more and more prevalent. And I don't want to steal the major thunder from the videos, but if you're all concerned about net neutrality or a major grid down situation, then mesh networking is something you need to think about. And I'll leave it at that. Anyway, more on that in the future here. So let's go back to me. All right, so I mentioned it that we're doing attics and small spaces. I'm also going to do a Q&A at the end. Oh, I guess I didn't mention what these are. I kind of just assumed everybody knew what it was. I did it again. Why is this the wrong camera? So the GoTenna Mesh is a Bluetooth device that syncs with your phone, and it does one-to-one messaging via your phone. It doesn't do voice. It just does text. And it does kind of like APRS location-based stuff. It'll squawk out if you need help to everybody that has these. But how these work is, if you've got one and a bunch of random strangers have one and they're all separated from you from miles away, and you needed to talk to somebody miles and miles away, one would ping the other and the other and the other to send your message across. Super cool. You got to have a mesh network to do that. There's only a couple things kind of in the amateur radio market that's doing that, and I think it's the future of many things to come. Ham radio is going to be all up in that. As always, hams are super into that kind of stuff. So anyway, Discord chat will be after the session. The talk today will go up on Discord, voice chat, answer the questions there, and we'll do a Q&A at the end, so make sure you get your questions ready. I don't have APRS going on a better antenna, so I just have my 2-meter simplex stuff because I was doing SSTV, so don't have anything going for there, so you can't really contact me. Sorry about that. Hello from steamy Arkansas, Grassblade63. Wicked perfect. Yeah, mesh is going to be insane. Yeah, I hope so. And the way I think about it, again, I don't want to steal my thunder here. I got a lot to say on this topic, but there's going to be a backbone internet for things like Netflix, things like YouTube, but there's no reason why your phone can't be smart enough to switch over and use mesh for things like text messaging and other things like that. Now, I know that all the major companies don't want that, but that's not to say that it won't be possible in the future from devices like these. So think about it like that. You're going to, like, supplement your robust internet with mesh networking in the future. It's kind of what I think. I hope that's the way it goes, because that just means more cool stuff that we can work on, right? But anyway, enough of all that. We are talking about mesh antennas today. And I've got some slides, so let me get those slides going. And then I've got some images that I'm kind of going to talk through. But I want to make sure that that guy kind of stealing my picture kind of pissed me off. So I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. So I want to make sure if I've ever, like, referenced anybody's stuff or anything like that, then I make sure we give credit, because we're going to go on the internet a little bit and we're going to look at examples. At least that's my plan. Okay, cool. It's working. I'm using a new slide program. I'm using the Google Chrome or the Google Drive system. So what happens when if I click it, just works. Man, okay, can I use the keyboard? Awesome. All right, so we're talking about HF antennas for small spaces. Okay, let me get something out of the way first and foremost. Small spaces means, well, wait, I think I covered most of it. David, the meme lord, says, my attic dipole doesn't work very well on people actually receiving me. Can't wait for some pointers. I might change to a magnetic loop in the summer because I'm almost back to school and we got 20-meter Yaggies there. Nice. K9ARV asked, did you fix that dipole on the roof? Yeah, I mean, I make pretty long contacts with it. Not so great. I still have some tweaks I need to do. But it's kind of like, am I just going to tweak it, or am I end up just going to put up a hex beam and do something else? Haven't decided. But I'm so busy with the Ham Radio Crash Course stuff that I barely get much time to play radio. Steve P says, hey, Hosh, did you find out what was the cause of the interference on field day? No, so when I finish today, when we finish the Discord chat, I'm going to shut down all the power and I'm going to go hunt for it. I'm going to put the 7300 on battery because I can see it on the screen right now. I can see the little shift, the whatever that is, it's going left to right. I'm going to track that sucker down. Anyway, all right. Small spaces means less effective antennas. They're lower to the ground. They are not a horizontal dipole, for example, with no bends, right? You're taking all kinds of things into play when you get it inside your house. You can't really do a beam because you don't really have the room to rotate, depending on the size and the band you want to work. And then you've got all kinds of RFI issues, which we're going to talk about. Interference. Yeah, thank you, Carrie. Everybody hit that thumbs up. I'd appreciate it. But there are advantages, of course, with everything they say. Every antenna is a compromised antenna. There are good things and bad things. Apparently, I'm trying to squawk out my location, so that didn't make it. There are always good things and bad things with any antenna. Good thing about having an attic antenna, it's away from the weather, meaning you can use material, you can use connectors, you can use brittle material, you can use weak material, and it doesn't have the wear and tear of being in weather. For some of you, in the wintertime, you don't ever want to go outside, so having an attic antenna could be a good thing. So then, feed line shorter, material can be less expensive in some cases. Absolutely. HR Flex, if you have unlimited data, please do a Instagram stream. I guess I could do that. I mean, sorry, I'll pause really fast. I can do it really fast because I've got Wi-Fi. I'm hearing the Wi-Fi. Sorry, we're taking a little... It's only going to work for an hour, though, but what the hell. Okay, there we go. Instagram's going to see my sweet shirt, which you guys never really see. My sweet shirt is Keyboard Cat. Remember Keyboard Cat? Remember Keyboard Cat? three Moon Keyboard Cat. Or Three Keyboard Cat Moon, I think they'd call it. All right, so anyway. Depending on the geographic location, having an indoor accessible is good, right? Makes sense. Okay, primary options for antennas. We're going to go through about three of these. Hey, what's up? Oh, we got a bunch of people on Instagram already. Hey, how's it going? No green screen, sorry. Dipole is obviously the one that jumps to mind immediately, right? They're simple if they're made monoband, And because they're made monoband, relatively inexpensive to put up, right? It's just length of wire. And if it's multiband, you're likely going to do a fan dipole, for example. Fan dipoles are really the low megahertz antenna goes on top, and then, you know, 40, 20, 15, something like that for a fan dipole, or 10. 40, 20, 10. A lot of people do that. And all that is a center connector with all the wires kind of connecting in the center, and then you got to keep them separated. Got to keep them separated, right? And then you got trap coils. Now, trap coils are a little bit more complex because there's actually kind of an L matching kind of thing you need to do with them. There are calculators online to do trapped dipoles. I'm not going to go into the detail of making them other than to say it's not difficult. And you can actually, I think you can buy some in some cases. Carl says, what are good bands of small space? Well, that's a great question, Carl. And actually, I don't have a slide specifically like that, but this is a really, really good question. So the lower the megahertz, meaning 80 meters, 160 meters, 40 meters, 60 meters, are all going to require a lot of wire. And cramming a lot of wire into your attic is probably not a great idea. You're not going to have a lot of fun with just routing it, let alone paying for it, right? Because at a certain point, you're spending a lot of money to get wire, because it does get expensive at a certain point, and you're not going to get the best performance out of it. So you kind of start thinking, like, why am I doing all this? So really good, kind of sweet spot antenna is 10 meters and 20 meters. So we are in a solar low. 10 meters is not going to be that great, in all honesty, in all fairness, but 40 meters is going to be universally pretty good. Case in point, guys, case in point. I was on FT8 before the stream, before I lost the internet, which I guess FT8 don't care because it's just going through my computer. I was hearing England. Now, there were 24 dB, which was kind of the dB that Baker Island was coming into me. I heard Hungary, and I heard Russia, and I heard England, and I heard the Canary Islands on FT8. Again, negative 24 dB, but 20 meters can open up. Now, sun cycle depending, right? We're talking sun cycle. You're going to have to be more conscious of the bands. You're going to have to be ready to kind of, you got to watch them. You got to kind of listen. Like I was doing on field day. You got to listen, you got to pounce. You got to listen, and you got to snipe. You got to be able to jump in there and go for that contact when it comes up. I hope you guys can hear me okay on Instagram. You haven't said anything, so I assume it's okay. Caleb Ruddle is stealing my thunder by saying, I made a 40, 20 meter, and 10 multiband dipole out of speaker wire. Yes, son. More on dipoles. Okay, fan dipoles can be configured in a maypole style. So a lot of people aren't using maypole dipoles that much anymore. A buddy of mine I used to talk to on the local repeater uses one in Arizona. He moved. He lives in Arizona now. He's got, I think, an 80, 60, 40, 30, 10 or something like that. And so basically it's like a vertical center post, the center connector somewhere in the top, and then you've got like the 80 is going this way, and then the 40 is going this way, and the 20 is going like this, and the 10 is going... So they're like, it's kind of like a round cone of wires in inverted V configuration. So you can do that on your dipole in your attic. You absolutely can do that. Who is that? K8MRD the legend. Who? Yo, Camry Radio Stuff. Oh, yeah, what's up? Radio Stuff's here. Cool. What's up? By the way, I'll give... It's right here. There's the signal stick. I mentioned it in the last stream, the second to last stream. This has been attached to this radio from the moment I got it, and I have no reason to ever take it off of here. Great antenna. So make sure you go to Signal Stuff and Signal Stick. Signal Stick's the name of the antenna. Okay, so you can build your dipoles for an attic, if you will, to withstand taking an amp. I would say 600 watts is about the highest you'd want to go. And you can build with the right gauge wire to do that and the right... center connector, the right feed line, all that stuff to make it work. But keep in mind, it's in your house. It's still in your house, okay? So you want to be careful with that. If you're going to use an amp, be careful with that. Anthony asks again, what antenna is that? It is the signal stick. The signal stick. Oh, is Tony screwing with me? Yep. Oh, I might have the wrong. You handle pileups with these. That might be this different guy. Regardless, that antenna is really good. If you're not the same person, I apologize. Yeah, go to Signal Stick if you're interested in the antenna. Awesome. And in many cases, no tuner is needed. So if you're doing a monoband dipole, even up to some of the fan dipoles, some of these other things, if you get them cut correctly, you're going to be fine without a tuner. You're not going to need one because it's cut resonant on the middle of the band or whatever area of the band you use more often. If you're a CW guy or gal, cut it for CW and use it that way. You don't need a tuner. Yeah, sorry, Kate, MRD. I confused you with the gentleman who runs signal stuff. I apologize. I don't remember call signs. I get a ton of people with different call signs. Yeah, thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Carl asked, signal stick versus the Nagoya. They function very similarly, but the Nagoya is obviously a rigid antenna, and the signal stick is a whippy thing that you can fold over, which is, in my case, a lot better because I can roll it up and I can put it in my bag because I travel with a messenger bag and sometimes I don't want to have the radio sticking out. So anyway, you get the idea. Okay, so good. All right, primary options. So we covered dipole. Somebody already mentioned magnetic loop. Yeah, Zach, I'm talking about the 771 primarily is the closest counterpart to the signal stick, I'd say. Oh, okay. K at MRT, I know who you are, bud. All right, sorry about that, buddy. Yeah, I'm the one with the haters on my channel. Yeah, man. Wow, I was watching that video beforehand, and you're just like, hey, I'm happy I got this thing working, and people are like crapping on you. It's like, geez, guys. Going back to what I said earlier when I was talking about moving forward with ham radios, be cool. Like, be cool with everybody. We're all a part of the same, like, crew, whether you're not an FT8 guy or a Soda guy or, you know, if you just like doing single sideband or even if you're high OM AM only guy, that's cool too. Like, you can geek out on each other's stuff. You don't have to love it. You don't have to, like, make it your life, but just be cool. Like, be cool with everybody. I don't want to sound like a hippie because I'm not a hippie, but be cool, man. Be cool. Yeah, ham study. Thank you, H Reflex. I'm talking about ham study for the signal stick. And I will repeat that. Ham study is funded in part by sales of the signal stick. I'm not affiliated with signal stick or ham study, but I support people that are doing the right thing for the amateur radio community. So I appreciate that completely. Okay, so loops. There's a couple different kinds of loops. I'm going to talk about one specific kind. One loop is where you just get a bunch of wire. You cut the wire to be resonant, and again, there's calculators online, and you cut it to be resonant on whatever frequency you want, say it's 40 meters, for example, and then you kind of run that around the perimeter of your attic, and that's your antenna. That's your loop antenna. You're going to need a tuner, which we'll talk about. I'll mention in a little bit. I'm stealing my own thunder again. You're going to have to use a tuner, and you may even want to add a mechanical switch, like one of those Frankenstein's monsters metal throw switch, so that you could have an open loop if you wanted to do that. And that gives you some interesting pattern changes. Loops are going to be real funky because they're going to get all kinds of messed up with anything that's around them, which we will talk about. They get messed with if there's anything conductive or something that resonates around them. So you're going to have to really play with the loop. But when you get them in place, they're really good antennas. I was talking to a guy who, he has a sky loop. Now, this is not an attic antenna. He's got an 80-meter sky loop. He's got four 40-foot masts, and they've got pulleys on each one, and he pulls up a connector, like an insulator, connected to a wire that runs a horizontal loop around his property, and then he feeds it off the side. Hey, Kate, MRD, thanks for coming by. Take it easy, buddy. And basically, that's his antenna. He can use multi bands with that thing. Resonant on 80, I think he gets 30 for free, and I think he gets 80 and then 30, and I think he tunes around 40, but it's not going to work as great on 40. AD6DM says, just check my area for Gotenna, only a couple of folks around. Yeah, it's just kind of starting out, so your mileage will vary depending on where you're at. So many people in the chat. I got a comment earlier. Somebody said they don't like the fact that I take all my divergent paths when I go through discussion. I don't know how I could both have a conversation in the chats and have the talk and do everything that we do without having a divergent moment. So I hope you enjoy my insanity of where I go through this, because I like reading your comments when they come in, and often they have really good stuff that I want to talk about. So, yeah. Brad says, Brad, KG5SPR, and feed with ladder line on the loop. Yeah, buddy. So you can go, you could pop a hole in your ceiling from your loop, drop the ladder line down directly to a tuner, and you would be very good. Make sure you get all the metals away from it, anything that could affect the resonant, whatever you're trying to do. You know, that's like, perfect. That's a really good way to do things. You're not going to jam a lot of power through that, but again, you're just trying to get on the air. And I should say this now that I'm at the 30 minute mark almost at this point. The point of an attic antenna, it's funny that I'm getting into the philosophy of why an attic antenna. It only took me 30 minutes to get here. You're doing this because you kind of have to, for whatever reason. Whether you've got a homeowners association that's down your throat, or you've got some kind of landlord issue, or you live in an apartment, or you're renting a house, or maybe your wife just really hates the look of antennas. There's lots of reasons why you would do an attic antenna. And that's fine. The point is, and the point why you go through this, and the point why you walk this path, is because you want to get on the air. And the best antenna you can have is the one you have up in the air. So make sure that, you know, you really do do something. Like, get something up on the air. And I do want to make a point. I'm going to diverge again here. Man, Wicked, stop stealing my thunder. Wicked Perfect says, what about apartment patio antennas? Wicked, don't tell them. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, okay? Don't say anything. So, you really just need to get an antenna on the air, right? That's the point. And here's the extension to that point. Having a portable antenna or a temporary antenna is nice. You get a couple of moments of fun. Maybe you have a relaxing evening, or maybe a relaxing evening or a weekend that you can set it up. But there's nothing like coming home, having your setup, reaching at the radio, turning it on, and you're on. You're receiving. You're on the radio. That's something that's hard. For somebody that, like, again, I started with QRP and portable antennas, throwing wires into trees and all that stuff. And it was always this, like, 30-minute process to get the antenna going, right? And get everything up and get everything running and pulling everything out of the bag and setting it up and hooking it up and tuning and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. There's nothing like coming home after a long day at work, open the refrigerator, pull a beer out, sit down, click a button, boom, you're on. You're on. Your radio's on. You're good to go. That is a feeling that, until you've had that, it's kind of hard to... It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. And so for a lot of people that are coming from VHF, UHF, just got your general, you know, an attic antenna is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. You can go to Home Depot. You can build one this weekend. You could do this. It's Friday. Project weekend. Boom. Go do it. Go get some speaker wire, which we'll talk about. Speaker wire is an easy way to make a dipole. And just make it for 20 meters. Start with that. Easy. A lot of stuff going on in the chat right now. Carrie says, my wife loves my antenna. Oh, the one you have on the roof. Awesome. Or not on the roof. You'll have to mention that in the comments, and I hope I see it, that you had a vertical that you were going to put on the eaves. I don't know which way you went. Make sure you go post that on the Ham Radio Crash Course so we know. Predated Sam. Are vertical HF antennas worth messing with for home HF? Sure. Any antenna that you will use is going to be a good antenna, sir. Some are going to be better than others in certain cases, but yes, generally, yes. And I will give a shout out, DX Commander here on the YouTubes. Go look up his videos. He makes a vertical antenna. Very, very good. Very good antenna. So go check that out. Okay. Okay, so loop. Oh, I missed some of it. The feed point can be changed to avoid RFI. So feed point of a loop, the shape of the loop, where you have it stretched around, you're going to have to play with for a loop. Loops are horizontally polarized, though, when they're aligned horizontally, which can be very nice for a attic antenna. Dipoles are too, but with an HF loop antenna in the attic, you will be able to play with a bit more bands depending on how you cut it and what bands you get for free. Okay? So the more wire you get up in the air, the better it will perform on multiple bands, right? You're going to get, like I mentioned, 80. If you got an 80-meter loop, you can get 30 for free, and you've got some others that you can play with a tuner. They're all going to require a tuner. We already mentioned ladder line. That's where you want to be. A 40-meter loop, okay, just 40 meters is going to be about 142 feet of wire. Brad, KG5 SPR. It's not that. It's the noise around the antenna that's the problem. A lot of... Franklin Lewis, thank you so much, buddy. Where is it? There it is! There's the party light. I almost lost the whole stream just trying to plug that thing in, so it was worth it. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Franklin, thank you so much. So the reason for a horizontally polarized antenna is it's going to lower your noise floor. That's the largest argument I hear most often for a horizontal antenna. Brian Johnson, can you focus through a jam? Is you lower the 2G, 3G protocol? That is for somebody else. I think you're having another conversation. Patrick Dickey says, I thought about making a loop for 10 meters. So I have delusions of grandeur. There's no way my wife's going to do it, but I want a sky loop really bad. I want to put up like four just stupid like flagpoles around my property and hoist up this crazy wire in the middle of the suburbs. The mayor will come and tear that thing down if I do that. Oop, I skipped ahead. But I want it. I want a really nice 80 meter rag chew antenna, and 30 meters is my favorite FT8 band. It's my favorite digital band. So I get like both of those, best of both worlds out of that. Awesome. Couldn't ask for more. What about a 200 meter loop? Yeah, I'm going to need somebody's ranch for a 200 meter loop, says Brandon Quinn, or Quinn, about a 200 meter loop. So aiming for the higher bands is a compromise you make, and I mentioned it because of the sun cycle, that you have to do based off of how much space you have. 10 meters is an easy antenna to do, but you're not going to get a lot out of it because we have such a poor sun cycle right now. 10 meters is only really going to be effective at certain points of the day. And you know what? I want to make... When I did my last stream about FT8 DX Expedition Mode, I was talking to somebody in the chat who had really, really good luck with 10 meters out of Florida. He was talking, I think, across the country on 10 meters into the night. Awesome. But that's field day. Oh, man, Sonic D's in the house. On Instagram, post your Instagram channel. Darren Drinks Beer, I believe it is. My buddy Darren, who brings me all the amazing beers, is on Instagram. So if you want to follow somebody who's really knows his stuff about beers, go check him out. Darren Drinks Beers. Right? Right? Tell me, Darren. I'll look back in the chat in a second. So you post it. Again, it's all about a compromise, how you're going with this. But the space is going to dictate how much wire you can get up. And you're going to have to kind of work with it as you go. Now, loops, if you had a pattern, antenna pattern app, or if you had something that could model an antenna, loops are going to have all kinds of wild null zones on them. They're going to have spots where it just nulls out completely. So there's not a lot you can do with that. That's just the nature of it. You can try moving it around vertically or whatever and get around that, but at the end of the day, that's kind of how they are. And that's what it is, right? That's what it is. So experimentation, it goes back to how all of it works. Carter 34461 wants to be in the live video. Maybe when we get to the question and answer, if you have a question, I'll take it live. So hang on there on the Instagram. If somebody wants to go ask a question on that side, we'll try and do that too. For funsies, see, we're experimenting. So you want to make sure you experiment when you have a loop, right? Tuners are needed. There you go. KM8, your radio-less operator here. First live stream. Oh, hey, what's up? PLDN mayor. Are you the mayor of Cerritos? Are you going to come tear down my Skyloop when I try and put it up? I hope not. All right, so primary options for antennas, balcony verticals. And you can do verticals in an attic, but it's really going to depend on how big your attic is and what bands you're trying to do. A 10-meter vertical, mobile 10-meter type vertical you could do. The problem with balcony antennas is they're kind of semi... They're temporary, right? They're temporary in their very nature. There's a lot of commercial options available, and the performance is okay to poor. So that's kind of the important thing to know with the antennas. More to say though, there's what one looks like. That's the MFJ model. And most of that, that's basically half of my Big Ears antenna. And I talked across the country with that, so. All right, materials. Easy stuff, man. Lamp cord, that's my big spool of antenna making cable right there. Lamp cord, or is it called zip cord? You know, Jerry, KG6HQD, loves his speaker wire. There's speaker wire. If you get yourself an action on some stranded copper, use that. Telescopic mobiles, right? That's the telescopic right there. That one right there. That's just a long telescopic boom that you just send it out there and you adjust it depending on where you're at. That last one, copper plumbing. Copper plumbing, man. So copper plumbing, you can build a loop out of. You can build a magnetic loop. We didn't talk about magnetic loops. We talked about simple wire loops. Magnetic loops are a little bit more involved. MFJ makes some. There's a lot of commercially available antennas on the market that are loop antennas that you could just run in an attic. Magnetics are a bit directional, though. So, all right. There's a lot of content. Let me go through the chat really quick. Dan says, with the Ham Radio Crash Course, I'm now KD9LKE, like, KD9-like. Got it. That's great. Congratulations. Thank you for watching. What is the best tuner to start out with that is relatively cheap? Ooh. It really depends on what you want to play with and how much power you want to play with. If you're just doing QRP, the MFJ QRP tuner, I think, is like less than $30. I used that for a while when I was still using that LNR LD5 radio. And it works well. I actually use that with a couple of radios now that I think about it. Carl Ng, what about a battering ram antenna? There's going to be a lot of... that's going to have some problems, I imagine. PLD... What? Pilden? Pilden Mayer? I hope I'm not saying that wrong. Build up that tower. Yeah, I would. I have my own limitations city-wise. I can't go 20 feet above my roof line. But I see some guys that have like stupid high antennas, and they've got full out towers and everything. I was like, how did they get around it? It's Swift reminding me to tune up a lawn chair with my tuner, which I still want to do. Forrest Harrell asks, steel cable? You can. I would go with the thinner gauge stuff, and you need to experiment. I'd experiment. But don't go crazy with it. David the Meme Lord, would you say a magnetic loop is superior to a plane loop? Not necessarily. I think that, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that. The magnetic loop has its own touchy issues that you got to go in there and you got to kind of like tune it around a lot to be resonant on whatever frequency you're trying to be on. So you're going to need kind of a remote setup to be able to do it. So just make that known when you go in. The MFJ one has a remote unit that goes in the shack that you can tune with. And I think you have to have that to be able to use it. Most of the time, people use magnetic loops, like vacation portable style, and they're out, like, they're going in there and they're putting hands on. Big magnetic field, obviously it's called magnetic loop, but big magnetic field coming off of a magnetic loop antenna, and you don't want to be that close to it when it's operating, so. Brian says, I know I'm just thinking out loud, waiting for the right thought to hit me. I'm the guy that found the BIOS virus a long time ago before Snowden. Wow. Brian in the chat with some historical computer hacking knowledge. Are you a ham, Brian? Hope so. Very good. Carl Ng says, any antenna analyzer? Yeah, Rig Expert. Rig Experts are awesome. I like Rig Experts. I'm not against the MFJs. I seem to come across as sometimes an MFJ guy, but I think the Rig Experts are better. Man, the chat's going so fast, I'm not even able to follow it. How do you like the QRP guy's antenna? I was literally watching that build when I saw you live. So it's great on 20 meters. It's great on 30. The 40 meters, the toroid, either I screwed up, which I probably did, and I need to rewrap the toroid and resolder it to the board. That's no big deal. It happens. Toroids are kind of a pain in the butt. Thank you, Zach. Hopefully that link is good, Zach. Can you give me the thumbs up on that link being good that I put in the description? I tried to update my descriptions on my video, so. KM6MNS, do you ever get on Wind System? I don't know if that's me or if that's your call sign, but I do occasionally listen to... I actually, about 2 months ago, I was on the Wind System at like 2 a.m. talking to a bunch of OMs about the historic things that Walt Disney did during his time. Did you know he was dishonorably discharged from the military? Brad says, I'm waiting on my QRP guy's antenna plus, so hopefully that works well. That should. That's a 9-to-1 un-un, so it's going to function like a lot of... Oh, you know what? Did I mention NFEDs? I didn't. NFED is another way to go with an attic antenna. You just have your, you know, un-un towards the roof and pull your coax out of that. Longer coax is better with an un-un. And then just run that wire through the attic. You could do an NFED that way. Yeah. So here's the thing about interference. Any conductive material, copper plumbing, conduit, wires, anything like that that reaches a half or a quarter wavelength or longer can become a parasitic conductor to your antenna. That's part of the reason why we get our antennas outside, is that we want to avoid parasitic conductors. So they'll affect SWR, but they'll also leech off power, right? They'll pull power off of your output of your antenna. So it's best to try to avoid that, and there are a couple ways of doing it. Orientation of the antenna to not be parallel. Remember when we talked about Yagis, how Yagis have a reflector and a driven element that kind of force the RF out of the driven elements, there's the reflector and the focuser? Why am I not? The driven element is the hot end and everything else is parasitic. Collector? I think it's collector. Anyway, doesn't matter. The short pieces that point the beam, you're basically turning your conduit and your wire into that when you have parallel lines and one of them is your active line antenna. So orientation matters. If your dipole is running parallel with copper plumbing, put it on a perpendicular rotation. See if that gets director. There you go, director. Orientation matters. Judicious experimentation on position and use of toroids should be performed. I wrote that. Just throw toroids on everything. Right, that's how you experiment. You put toroids on all the things, and that's the best way to go about it. Position's important. Toroids are important. All kinds of stuff. It's Swift. Looked up Walt Disney dishonorable discharge. Fake news! Urban myth! Well, I'm sorry. That's what the high OMs told me on the Wind System, so... What does that tell you? Be nice. Be nice in ham radio. So how to test antennas. So the problem with... The problem with antennas that are in the attic is when you have, like we just mentioned, these parasitic conductors, transmitting can make things more of a problem. So the best thing you can do is test on in receive and move things around, try things, try rotationally, see where you're at, try all the things, just like you put toroids on all the things, directionally, and explore, right? That's the point of the attic antenna, is you're going to have to do a lot of exploring. It's not as simple as just hoisting it up on a mast and get it out as far and as high as possible and you're good to go. Because that's generally all you have to do with an outdoor antenna. You've limited yourself, you put yourself in a space, so now you have to, you got to work around that. Try limiting variables, same feed point and feed line. Oh, okay. So, if the antenna is having issues, do one change at a time and then check it for consistency. Move your feed point, your feed line, then check it. Position of the antenna, rotating 45 degrees, 90 degrees, whatever, then check it. This is more applicable to dipoles. Toroids, put a toroid on, check it. Put a toroid on, check it. Put a toroid on, check it. Until you figure out what the problem is, and then you've got it. Okay, so I'm gonna go over to pictures, but I want to get this out of the way first because my patrons are part of the reason why this is all possible. So for our patron producer level of support, Michael Nieswender, Carrie Blackwell's in the chat. Carrie's like one of the biggest supporters. She's been pretty much there from the beginning. Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you. Chris Ebert, Jason KG2ICN, Danny Miller, Franklin Lewis, Jason Siebert, David Dansereau, I hope I'm saying that right, Ken Neiman, Dennis Dunderdale, Gareth Broadhead, Jace Ravenfield, Just Anthony, and Dennis Mickelson. Again, thank you guys. I'm not going anywhere yet. We got to switch over, but I just wanted to get that out of the way because I've got it in the slides and it makes it easy. So let's switch over here. I do want to show one thing. This is a resonance breaker. So basically what this is, so if you find out you've toroided all the things, you've moved the antennas all the ways, and it's not getting any better, and you've got this copper plumbing you can't do anything with, resonant breaker time. A resonant breaker is basically, that's a figure eight loop. It's a big circle, and then you take it and you put a twist in it, and it's just squared up. It's rectangled. You put that over the top of the wire of your copper plumbing, and that breaks up the resonance on that copper plumbing or conduit or wire or whatever it is. Now, what's cool about that is that one has a 100 picofarad variable control on the side of it, so you could actually adjust it depending on what frequency or what band you're working on. Pretty cool. So keep that in mind. You may need to do something like a resonant breaker. And this is coming from n4tze.com/resonant breaker. And he covers the plans 4 inches separated from the copper and then 18 inches long on the rectangle piece. And it's number 12 insulated wire. And it's got a cool little text there. I'll read it really quick. Use a resonance breaker, such as shown here, to obstruct RF currents in a conduit without needing to physically break the conductor. Use a vernier dial for the variable capacitor because tuning is quite sharp. The 100 picofarad capacitor is in series with the loop. The resonance breaker tunes from 14 through 29.7 megahertz. Larger models may be constructed for lower frequency bands. So keep that in mind. And now we're going to beer number two. The Modern Times Fruitlands Rosé Edition. So we're going to call this a brosé. I don't know what to expect. I've never had this. I've drank just about everything that Modern Times produces, so I had to give this a shot. I'm not going to drink it out of this glass. That had an ale in it. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. So much chat going on. Appreciate that. Let's look at some attic dipoles. How's that sound? Oh. No. It's not what you think, Carrie. It's not a rosé. It's a beer. It's a Weiss with cherries, raspberries, cranberries, and lemons. And it uses a bunch of different wheat. It's fairly low alcohol. I think it's like 4 or 5. Yeah, it's 4.8. It's just a fruity kind of beer, but not like a lambic. It's not tart or sweet. It's just a fruity but still beer. I have tried to sit down and watch that Trollhunters movie so many times, and I maybe it gets more going on as it goes. I don't know. I just have to up my patience. So here's a cool fan dipole, right? You see those horizontal lines? Gary, I'm telling you, it's not a rosé. It doesn't taste anything like a rosé. It's just a hint of fruity flavor in a Weiss beer, which is Weiss is a German slightly tart beer. So this is a fan dipole. Horizontal wires being separated by some kind of standoff. Oh, man. I saw Bud has an orange beer. Oh, I tried that. No joke. I went to a pool party, and they had Bud Lime and Bud Orange. And Darren and I were both there. And Darren, again, I don't know if Darren's still watching, but Darren drinks some good beers. Darren knows what to buy. And he brought some, I brought some, and we had those Bud Lime and Bud Orange that the host was bringing, which is fine. If that's what they like, that's cool. I'm not going to crap on their beers. But I tried it, and it tastes like fruit juice. You could drink a lot of those and get hurt. You'd have to drink a lot, though, because Bud Light's pretty light. Anyway, fan dipole. See, they did a really nice job. They've got little hanging pieces to hang the horizontal elements. Really, really nice job. And those are thin gauge wire, very inexpensive. That's very easy to do. That is a TV antenna. From long wire to a Yagi, so this looks like a loop to me, but it's open-ended. It looks like on the far end, so that's an open-ended loop from the looks of it. Pretty good idea. You could do that. That doesn't take up a lot of space, but that's not getting you 20 meters, I think. I'd be surprised if that got 20. Ooh, what's this? Ah, okay. Okay. So here's something I didn't... Can I... Let's go visit the page. Let's give credit where credit's due. So I wanted to mention something about this. So what this is it's two screwdriver... Oh, that's expensive. Holy crap, that's $1,500. Okay, well, it's a good idea, but it's basically two horizontally oriented screwdriver antennas, and they're adjustable for multiband, and you'll put two telescopic elements on the end, and that's how you adjust what frequency you're operating on. It's a pretty good idea. Pretty good idea for an attic. Pretty expensive, too. Okay. What do we got? Attic dipole. Just a simple, that's a real simple screwdriver, non-water resistant connector. It looks like it's possible that that's just coax, where the shielding is separated from the center connector, and then boom. Yeah, that's 110 degrees right here. I'm not going outside. And my air conditioner gave up at 80. It's like 79, 80 degrees. It can't go any lower than that. Oh, I'll cover it I'll pull it up just so that we can talk about it. I don't recommend a slinky dipole. I'll just get that out of the way. But this is ham radio, and we can experiment. This is an article off of eHam, remote tune slinky dipole for restricted hams. Do what you want to do. If you want to experiment, go ahead. But I would not recommend it. Oh, look at this one. That's four... wow. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. So they got a really nice center connector, right? And they've got four different bands that this thing's operating on. And then that big coil of coax is a choke ballon. So there's probably a lot of RF in there, and they're using that choke ballon to keep it out of the RF line. So let's pull that up really quick. That's a pretty good one. So somebody's asking, Brendan asks, why are they $1,500? What on earth is in them? They're screwdriver mounts, and they're electronically adjustable. So you could be in your shack and you can change the bands that you want to operate on by adjusting the lengths of the screwdriver elements. Okay, I don't know what I just pulled up. I'm in a bad place on the internet. We're going to get out of here. Oh man, what is going on? This is crazy. Show me a big picture of this bad boy. Oh, it's an HDTV. Ah! I thought that was some kind of crazy beam. Of course, it's Pinterest. So some of these are good. I like these pictures. Check this out. Wow. There's a party wagon. Okay, so what this guy did, or girl, although I'm like 95%. Statistics tell me 95% of people are ham radio operators are men. So what they did is they're kind of like running the dipole along the ridge lines around the house. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. And what is that for? 80 or 40? Looks like 40. Yeah. Oh, see, here's another one with a little dude. I like the little dude there. That's good. That's good. You can okay, check this guy out. Hamradioqrp.com. That's a good URL right there, buddy. So he's got an attic system, the attic antenna revisited. I love this. I picked it because of this picture. He's not actually sitting on the roof. I think that's where his ham shack is. So his feed line is not that far away from him. Looks like it's pretty rough, though. Oh, wow. Is he a magician? How did he cut the drywall to have two holes in it like that? But then, did he solder the ends together? Carrie, I know you're a woman. I'm not implying there are no women in ham radio. I'm just saying that 95% of the people are not women. Yeah, this guy's graphics are on point. Best graphics. Cool. Oh, here's a good one. Okay, this is what I wanted to see. I had a hard time finding a picture of this or something like it. So what you're looking at, it's hard to see because that picture's so small and I can't make it any bigger, is he's zigzagging it to get the full length of the dipole, but just compressing the crap out of it. So that's basically what he's doing there. So that's okay. So that's a maypole. That's a maypole dipole. So in the middle is a center balance, you know, a center mast with your center connector, and he's got a 17 and a 20 meter and maybe a 10, I don't know. But then the 40 goes zigzagging across the upper, you know, the inside of the roof. You can do that. You can absolutely explore that. Very cool. All right, I think I'm going to... Oh, there's one more. Look at that. Okay, this is going to be a good one. 7 ideas for indoor antennas. DX Zone. DX Zone always has cool stuff. DX Zone started following me on Instagram. Thank you, DX Zone, for following me. You put good stuff out there. So check out DXZone.com, 7 ideas for indoor antennas. I'm going to leave it at that because there's a lot of stuff in here. You know, if it were me, I think I'd cut a... cut a dipole, man. Cut a dipole. Cut it to 20. You know, get it going. And then cut another dipole. Just add more to that feed line, that center connector, and just keep adding more into it until you have all the dipoles you want based off the space you have. You know, explore the space. Okay, so let me catch up on the chat here. We had a lot of chat going on. Oh, blown insulation makes hopping around in the attic a pain, Carrie said. Yeah, indeed. Franklin says, I think for indoors attic mounts with enough space, a mini G5 RV might do the trick. For small spaces, the bazooka set to 20 meters. So the only problem with the G5 RV is really susceptible to any kind of metallic anything that's next to it. I have a big pain with mine. So I would avoid that for an attic antenna. It's fine if you get it way up in the air and you can get it stand off from the antenna mast. Dan Hughes asked, is there an increased risk of fire with an attic antenna? So, yeah, I mean, if you put a lot of power through it, sure. That could cause problems, so don't do that. DJ Snibs asks, Hosh, are all of those dipoles connected at the same time? They are, and the RF is smart enough to know that if you're on 20 meters, it's going to go to the 20-meter resonant wire, and it's going to leave all the other ones alone. That's how it works, believe it or not. Predated Sam says, I've seen some debate around the web about true 5/8 wave 10 meter mobile antennas. Some claim it's not possible. Some claim it is. What is your take? I have no take because I don't use 10 meters in mobile. And not to say that I won't use 10 meters in the future, but we are so lousy for 10 meters right now that I don't ever touch 10 meters. I popped up 10 meters during field day and I just like went, great, the band's dead. I know there's people out there. It was not comparable to that of 20 meters or 40 meters or the lower bands. If that's what you have to work with, make it work. I have other options, so that's what I've been using. I will be hardcore hitting up 10 meters, though, when the sun cycle changes. N0OSE, which is a very cool call sign. Are you a member of a ham club? I am. Carl Ng says, you could use Whisper to test antennas. You could, but that goes back to my whole don't transmit to test an antenna that's in your attic. The problem goes back to parasitic conductors. Parasitic conductors are going to cause a problem when you're trying to check to see how well your antenna works. So avoid that. Focus on the receive capability, the receive side. If you've got beacons, you know, a beacon is a really good way to test an antenna, a CW beacon. Right? I would look into that. Jared Payne, good for you, says, which is why. I don't even know what the front end of that conversation was, but it ended with, which is why I'm learning CW, smiley face. Learn CW. Everybody go learn CW. It's an archaic, dead language like Latin that is beautiful and fun and not actually dead, because hams are still using it. And if you want to be really good at soda and really be good at portable radio, CW is a really way to go. Really good way to go. Oh, Gerald Campbell, good point. Check before you install an attic antenna. If you have a metal roof, it will not work. Good point. If you do have a metal roof, that might work really well as a ground plane for a vertical. So you may just want to throw a vertical up there and use the roof as a ground plane. Predated Sam, in fact, CW is technically 10 meters. So I always thought CW was 11 meters, but okay. I'm assuming it dips into the 10 meter band. Noose, I'm going to call you Noose. It's N0OSE. Did you test drive the club, aka attend meetings, as an outsider to see if the club was for you? I did, and I recommend everybody does that with the clubs they join. Absolutely. And David H. with the info, 14.100 megahertz is the spot for 10-meter CW beacons. That's right. All right. Okay. All right. So, I think at this point, I think we're an hour in, so I think I'm going to end it here shortly. The Discord chat will be popping off shortly. So, you know, you can hop on over there. Want to make sure that I do get your questions in. And sometimes it's easier if we just chat live about it. So hop over to the Discord. Discord's free. You don't have to do anything other than open an account. And it's not like Facebook or anything like that. So, all right. I hit the patrons. Thank you, patrons, for everything. Thank you, everybody who gave me the super chat there. Appreciate that as well. Merch link is in the description. Again, I got a shirt coming. It's not going to make it before the Ham Jam. But, man, Ham Jam, going to be fun. Going to be a lot of fun. If you're in my area in Anaheim, California, you can get out there. Come on out. I'll be out at the HRO probably around 11 or 12. So, come on out. Let's talk. All right. Oh, okay, so Noose is like, that's exactly what I was going for. Bam. Dan asked, do you remember who your first contact was? I don't. Don't remember. I don't, for the life of me. I'm also really bad at remembering call signs, so I remember suffixes well, but I don't remember prefixes very well. I think the one that I remember the most is KG6HQD, to be honest with you. Sorry, I mean, I do like Jerry. He's a good guy. Who is Jeremy? Jared Payne says, Jeremy, remind me where I know you from. Don't know. I'm not Jeremy. Bring the kids, Hawk. Okay, so Hawkeye, the food is being, I think, cooked up by the Boy Scouts, and there's going to be some kids stuff going on. There's some emergency preparedness. Aries will be there. Again, Gordon West will be there. Family favorite, Gordon West. So, and Carrie. Carrie's graduating, what is it? Cum summa laude or something like that from the Ham Radio Crash Course. Carrie's got her license and then immediately hopped into doing net control for local net. She's working with Aries. Awesome. So that's more than I'm doing right now. So I that's awesome that she's taken that initiative. Found something she likes in radio. So you don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do it. But all I'm trying to do is entice you to find something that you like, and then you explore it and you make it your own. It's all about you finding what you want to do. So Aries is great out here in California. There's a lot of different different groups. So you'll have to shop that. Clubs are easy in California. It's the emergency preparedness stuff that's a minefield. It's tough because there's a lot. Okay. I think I hit everything. Cool. Okay, well, I'm going to leave it at that. Again, this is Josh Hoshnazi, KI6NAZ. Thank you so much for watching. Got the Facebook, link in the description. Reddit, Discord, link in the description. Patreon. Oh, big thing, the newsletter's going out. I'm sorry I'm so late. It's just been so crazy with Field Day and everything else going on. The newsletter will be going out this weekend, I promise you. And the patrons will get that. It's the $1 level. It's the lowest level of Patreon. You get access to my newsletter, which I think is pretty good. But, you know, that's me. Okay, guys, that'll do it. I'll see you over in the Discord chat in minutes, literally minutes. All right, take it easy. See ya.